During the hours of daylight, I work for Cancer Research UK, a large charity dedicated, obviously, to cancer research. I've always got an eye open for stories about cancer breakthroughs in the media, but so often they're overhyped PR stories about superfoods or very early lab research that's being sold as an amazing breakthrough. In October 2008, Cassian Yee and his team at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Centre in the US published an impressive paper explaining how they'd managed to use the power of the immune system to successfully treat a man with cancer. Dr. Chris spoke to him to find out more about this important breakthrough.
How does this technique to re-persuade the immune system to attack someone's tumour work?
We use a process known as adoptive immunotherapy, and that involves collecting white blood cells, the cells that you mentioned can fight infection, but can also fight tumor. And taking from these white blood cells, a population of cells known as T cells, which specifically recognize the patient's tumor cells. In the lab, we can isolate those rare T cells that can recognize and kill the melanoma cells, because the melanoma cells express a target antigen. And if we can expand enough of these T cells, we actually clone them into single cells, but if we can expand enough of these T cells and infuse them back into the patient, it's hoped that they can travel to the melanoma site and then recognize and eradicate the tumor cells.
So, Cassian, why don't the T cells, if the patient's already got them to start with and you're just increasing the numbers, why don't they go in there and wipe out the tumor for the patient without any help from you?
Yeah, so that's a very good question. For a long time, people felt that, well, perhaps these cells do exist in the body. And it turns out that using specialized techniques to detect these cells, they are present, but in very low numbers. And I think you mentioned earlier in the program that the body sometimes suppresses the immune response against normal cells. And part of this suppressive mechanism may prevent these T cells from recognizing tumors as well. So using this process of adoptive therapy, we're able to isolate these cells outside the lab and expand them without the constraints that might be present in the body that limit their expansion against the tumor cells. Now, on top of that, the tumor cells themselves have evasive mechanisms. They find ways to prevent the immune system from revving up and recognizing them by releasing suppressive factors or by co-opting immune suppressive cells to prevent the immune system from recognizing and expanding them. So by taking them out of that environment and putting back in and expanded numbers, we may be able to override some of these immune escape mechanisms.
Now, one of the interesting things about treating cancers is that when you start to treat them, because cancers are already genetically deranged, in other words, they're genetic material is all over the place. This means that cancers are not all the same, and therefore some cells will be killed by certain therapies, others will disguise themselves, look a bit different, and they escape therapy because they evolve ways of being unresponsive to the drugs and so on and so forth. So why doesn't that happen here? Why don't you end up with a clone of cancer cells that aren't recognized by these immune T cells you're putting back in, and therefore they escape and bring the cancer back?
So that's a very good question, and that is one of the major obstacles for immune therapy or any type of specific therapy. Actually, we did originally do the study with one type of T cell, the CD8 T cell, and found that that happened in some of our patients where, as you say, the tumor cell somehow was able to evade detection by suppressing expression of the antigen that was recognized by the T cell. But in this case, we used a different type of T cell, a CD4 T cell. And this T cell not only may kill the tumor cell directly by recognizing this antigen, but it may also recruit to the tumor site other immune cells that can kill it in a nonspecific fashion. So once the CD4 T cell, which we've expanded in the lab and given back to the patient, goes to the tumor site, the CD4 T cell may release other, we call them chemokines or cytokines, that bring to the tumor site other immune effector cells, which may kill the tumor nonspecifically, regardless of whether they express the antigen that was targeted in the first place or not. So by bringing to bear other immune effector cells, we may be able to eradicate tumor cells, whether they express the original targeted antigen or not. Now, one thing we did find in the paper in some of our patients is that when this happened, the tumor cell breaks down because the CD4 T cell is present and causes an inflammatory response. Other antigens are brought to light, and the body's own immune response takes over and starts to direct its own T cells that we didn't grow in the lab, but its own T cells that were already there to expand and grow and kill other target on the tumor cell.
And what's the risk, having just said what you've said, that you might end up with inappropriate attack? So in other words, if you look at certain diseases like thyroid disease or rheumatoid arthritis or certain types of diabetes, that's where the immune system is inappropriately attacking healthy tissue. If you're priming the immune system like that and then getting this spillover to other bits of the immune system, what's the danger, or is there a danger, that you might get an autoimmune disease and instead of just attacking tumours, these cells then start attacking something else that you don't want them to hit?
Well, that's a very good question. In part, that might be limited by the local effect, where the initial homing, I guess, or trafficking of the T cells that we gave to the patient end up expanding. So that local inflammatory process where we've targeted the tumor specifically may set up sort of an inflammatory environment that causes an immune reaction to occur. But that's not to say that some of these cells can't travel to other sites and cause some autoimmunity. And in fact, we have seen some autoimmunity in patients where some of the target antigens on the cells are also expressed by normal cells. So in the case of melanoma, some of these targets are the pigmented proteins, so whatever responsible for the coloration on your skin, so that when we start killing the tumor cells, some of these T cells may also end up killing normal pigmented skin cells, and then we see a whitening, a sort of a lightening color on normal skin. And that type of autoimmunity is not too toxic. It's still relatively safe in terms of patient discomfort. But when we see this, we also recognize that these patients have a high likelihood of responding as well to the immunotherapy, because what's happening in the normal cells is also happening to the tumor. So you're right, there is some autoimmunity, but we think a lot of it is concentrated where the initial inflammatory reaction occurs.
Certainly impressive stuff. It's early days, but researchers around the world are working on ways to harness this power of the immune system and turn it on cancer. And that story was important proof that it can work, which is really reassuring for scientists working in this area.
Laying the facts bare.
I say.
The Naked Scientists.